You're listening to Rounding at Rush, a Rush University Medical Center podcast that features the latest clinical advances, research, and innovations. I'm your host, Dan Dean. Today's guest is Dr. Selina Lee, a gastroenterologist at Rush University Medical Center. Our conversation today will center around surveillance of high-risk colorectal cancers, specifically on how the tools to screen cancer early have improved outcomes for patients. We'll also discuss the use of GI Genius and how that technology can help gastroenterologists better detect precancerous colon polyps. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Lee.
Thank you so much, Dan. Thank you for the invitation. It's such a pleasure to be here.
I like to level set and talk about the incidence of colorectal cancer in the United States. Can you give us a little bit of context on the incidence of this disease?
Sure, absolutely. Despite how much we've learned and know about colorectal cancer, it remains one of the most common cancers worldwide. In the United States, it is the third most common cancer, and it is the second most common reason for death from cancer amongst Americans. So it is still quite a threat despite advances in technology and techniques to detect it early. What's important to understand about colorectal cancer, just like with any cancer, is that the earlier we can find a cancer, the better options there are for treatment and cure, and that there are screening practices that have been shown over the last few decades to be effective to achieve that end. We do see that over the last few decades, the overall incidence has decreased some, but we are noticing that it has increased amongst certain populations. And what's been talked about more recently is it's the increase in incidence of colorectal cancer amongst our younger than 50 age group. And that is why we have changed the screening protocol to start at the age of 45.
Do we know why the incidence is increasing for the population under 50?
We don't really know why, but it's been postulated that the increased incidence may have to do with increased ability to detect cancer at an earlier age. We don't know if mortality amongst this age group has increased.
So as far as detecting colorectal cancer, this type of cancer can remain asymptomatic for a long time until it's in a more advanced stage. So therefore, preventative screening is key, and everyone knows about colonoscopy, but I'm wondering if you could talk through the totality of options available for screening.
Absolutely. There are several non-invasive ways to do colorectal cancer screening. The most popular and well-advertised is a test that looks at the stool for microscopic evidence for blood and DNA. We call this the FIT-DNA test. And that test, with fairly high accuracy, be able to detect a colon cancer at an early stage. Before that was available, there was another test called the fecal histochemistry test, or the FIT test. That test is also a stool-based test, and that looks for microscopic evidence of blood. For the FIT test, that needs to be done every year to be protective. For the FIT-DNA combined test, the recommended interval is 3 years, though the test is still fairly young, so that is not as well established. Other forms of colorectal cancer screening that is non-invasive would include a lower GI series or a CT colonography. Now, the drawbacks in both of these modalities is that it is dependent on the regional expertise. By and large, lower GI studies are no longer used with as much frequency, and CT colonographies are an acceptable non-invasive mode of screening, but it still requires that the patient prepare their bowels with a solution to clean out their bowels before the exam. That is oftentimes unpalatable because it is the most difficult part of a colonoscopy, but it doesn't expose the patient to the risks of a procedure or to sedation. And so in selected cases, that may be the best option.
From a data gathering standpoint, is there one modality of testing that you prefer over all of those others that you talked about?
Yes. So I do prefer the colonoscopy, and it's for several different reasons. Number one, it is the gold standard as far as the sensitivity at which we can detect a cancer. We are able to see directly inside the colon, and so our chances of missing a colon cancer are going to be much lower. Secondly, Because we are taking a direct look inside the colon, we are also able to detect precancerous lesions called polyps, or in particular adenomatous polyps. And that's important because if we can remove a polyp, we can potentially prevent a cancer from ever happening. With every other screening mechanism, we're looking for cancers. But with a colonoscopy, we can also look for precancerous lesions and prevent a cancer from ever growing. Just based on the increased incidence of colorectal cancer affecting people at younger ages, we had changed those guidelines to start screening with whatever modality they're comfortable with at the age of 45. And so our screening interval is between 45 and 75. Past the age of 75, we consider patients on a case-by-case basis. And there's good evidence that patients between the ages of 75 and 85 might still benefit from colorectal cancer screening. After 85, we generally stop. As far as the start age of 45, that is for the average population. Patients who have family histories or who have underlying GI disorders may need to start earlier. And so if there's any question about when to start for a particular patient with any of these risk factors, they can certainly ask their gastroenterologist.
Let's say a patient opts and does a colonoscopy. Why is it so vital that they have a clean bowel coming in for the procedure?
That point cannot be underscored enough. The cleaner the colon they can provide for us, the better an exam we can provide for them. And that is because how well we can visualize the colon has everything to do with how well we can find these precancerous adenomatous polyps. Some polyps are very obvious. They may be a centimeter, 2 centimeters in size. Some are small, and some are completely flat. And so the cleaner the bowel prep, the better an exam we can do. And if we are able to see these small polyps, then we would shorten the interval between exams. And so instead of coming back in 10 years for a colonoscopy, if we see a few small polyps, we may shorten that interval to 3 years or 5 years or 7 years. And by shortening the interval, we are able to protect a patient from developing an interval cancer, in addition to removing that particular adenomatous polyp that could potentially turn into a cancer.
So I know like there's been, from a patient perspective, reluctance to get colonoscopy because of the pre-ritual before getting the procedure done. And sometimes there's insurance factors that play into not getting the bowel clean appropriately. But that's changed recently. And I'm wondering if you could spend a little bit of time talking about how it's much easier today to prep your bowel in an appropriate manner.
Thanks, Dan, for that. The myth busting behind this is something I'm extremely passionate about because arguably the bowel prep is one of the biggest barriers that prevents patients from ever coming through my door. What has been the standard in the past has been that they would clean out their bowels for a whole day or more with a large volume or a gallon of foul tasting liquid, and they'd have to be without meals for days on end. But in truth, these days, you really just start the bowel prep the day before. You can have a low-fiber diet up until noon, and the rest of the day, up until midnight, you can eat anything that's clear, including solid versions of clear liquids like Jell-O or popsicles, even sorbet. And the bowel prep is split into two doses, and there are much smaller volume, better-tasting options, as small as 2 6-ounce doses. In addition to the small volume liquid forms of the bowel preparation, there are tablets that are also available for people who are averse to taking liquid medication. So there are a lot of options available. And like you were alluding to, insurance coverage is oftentimes a big barrier to providing patients with these options. But if they were to ask their gastroenterologist to investigate which particular formulation is covered by their insurance, there's always a way to get a patient the prep that is the best for them. Additionally, another issue is that sometimes if they were to go through an open access system, which is where their primary doctor prescribes the procedure for them, the understanding from our primary care colleagues of what is available may also be limited because these bowel preps are changing very rapidly. So the bottom line is that it's a lot more gentle as far as the pre-procedural preparation, and it's important to ask their gastroenterologist for the options that are available as far as how we can clean their bowels in the least traumatic way possible.
I want to ask you about and you talked about this earlier, the detection and removal of adenomas. That's what helps gastroenterologists prevent patients from developing colorectal cancer. I'm wondering if you could spend a little bit of time talking about adenoma detection rate and cancer incidence and what providers can do to improve their detection capabilities?
So the adenoma detection rate is the most clinically important marker of quality. And that is based on how many patients in a given population you would expect to have an adenoma. So just based on population studies, it's well established that in 100 patients, 25 of them should have adenoma. So we say the adenoma detection rate baseline should be at 25%. Gastroenterologists are able to track their own adenoma detection rate, and there are many ways that have been developed to increase that adenoma detection rate. Some ways are, of course, by improving the quality of the bowel prep. Other ways might be with improved definition of their endoscopy equipment, whether it's the screen or whether it's the scope itself. There have also been methods in using chromoendoscopy, which is dyeing the colon with contrast to help highlight these adenomas. While that is a very cumbersome process, technology has been developed to do electronic chromoendoscopy, so to speak. So with the flip of a button, I'm able to change my scope so that it's looking with a different contrast in the colon, at the colon mucosa. And so that if there was an adenoma in front of me, it would be more highlighted. Other ways are mechanical. So there are different caps and fittings that can go over a scope that will help pleat back the folds of the colon walls as we're doing our withdrawal. And that has been shown to potentially increase the rate of pickup. And then there's techniques involved in actually doing the colonoscopy. For instance, if you were to do a retroflexion, which is like a kind of like a U-turn at the very end of the colon, called the cecum or the proximal part of the colon, that's been studied and shown to potentially increase your rate of picking up an adenoma that you may have missed without that retroflexion by as much as 30%. Additionally, my favorite and pretty standard practice is to do a double intubation. So what that means is that after I get to the cecum, I will withdraw and do my first evaluation about halfway through the colon, and then I'll go back into the cecum and basically do like two colonoscopies in one. So I'm doing two withdrawals almost. The studies that have looked at the efficacy of doing this double intubation have also shown that by doing so, you can potentially increase your pickup of adenomas that you may have missed on the first time by, again, almost up to 30% of the time. Those are some of the ways that we can increase our adenoma detection rates. The most established method is really just spending time. So initial studies that looked at adenoma detection rate found that doctors that took less than 6 minutes to withdraw from the colon had a lower adenoma detection rate than doctors that took more than 6 minutes withdrawing from the colon. So if you were a physician that was wanting to know about the practice of the gastroenterologists that you refer to, or a patient looking for a new gastroenterologist, these are some of the questions that you might ask as far as what are the methods that this gastroenterologist utilizes to optimize their adenoma detection rate. Clinically speaking, the reason that it's important to have an adequate, if not robust, adenoma detection rate is because we found that that correlates inversely with the risk of interval cancers. So an interval cancer is a cancer that develops in between the interval that is recommended for you for repeat colonoscopy. So for instance, if I were to do a colonoscopy on a patient and the patient has a clean colon, low risk, meaning no family history, very straight views and no polyps at all, I would invite the patient to come back for a repeat colonoscopy in 10 years. However, if I do a colonoscopy on another patient and I find that the patient has several polyps, I would recommend that patient repeat colonoscopy for surveillance in maybe 3 years or 5 years. So let's just say it's 3 years. If, say, patient A comes back for developed symptoms and is found to have a colon cancer in 7 years, that is considered an interval cancer because it happened within the interval that was recommended to that patient. However, if patient B, who was recommended an interval of 3 years, developed symptoms and came back with a colon cancer at 7 years, that would not be considered an interval cancer. So interval cancer is increased in patients who have colonoscopies performed by physicians that have a lower adenoma detection rate. So that's the correlation. So the higher the adenoma detection rate, a gastroenterologist has, the correlate lower a rate of having a patient with an interval cancer.
One of the key things is the time spent. That seems to be really important, that they don't rush through the procedure.
Exactly. That's the easiest way to measure the quality of the colonoscopy, is just by sheer time.
Thinking about technologies that help gastroenterologists improve this adenoma detection rate is GI Genius. I'm wondering if you could describe how the technology works and how it can help GI practitioners learn to detect cancerous polyps sooner.
GI Genius is novel artificial intelligence that's built into our processor that helps us identify potential adenomas. And what it does is it looks at the shadowing and the contour of the image and highlights with a green box and a beep that's optional whenever it sees something that might require further a second look. And so as we're doing the withdrawal through the colonoscopy, just with the push of a button, we're able to turn this machine on, and it'll highlight areas that it has identified to have us look again. Sometimes it's bubbles, sometimes it's shadows, but sometimes it can pick up small polyps that are easy to miss. The reason that this is helpful also is that sometimes, just because of the way that the colon is structured, it's easy to lose a polyp. We may have seen the polyp, but then if a fold goes over it, it's very easy to lose these small polyps, especially when the views aren't good or preparation isn't perfect. And the GI Genius can also help us hold that polyp in place with that little green box. Now, you may wonder if, say, the GI Genius is helpful even amongst gastroenterologists that are experienced and who already have a good adenoma detection rate. That's the first question that I had in the beginning. But there has been research that shows that it does increase the detection of polyps when compared to humans alone, even if they were considered experienced. There's some independent research that had been done, published fairly recently last year, that showed that amongst both the experienced and less experienced endoscopists, the adenoma detection rates were increased. So in this study, for instance, they did define experienced gastroenterologists as those who had performed more than 5,000 colonoscopies, and inexperienced or average experienced gastroenterologists as those who had performed less than 5,000. And what they found was that the adenoma detection rate, or I'll say ADR, of experts that used their eyes alone was 32%, whereas they found that with the use of this artificial intelligence, that increased to 42%. So they were able to look at those who were considered experts. They had a robust adenoma detection rate already at 32%. And with the addition of GI Genius, that increased their adenoma detection rate to 42%. That was pretty compelling research to me as far as getting an ADR even higher with the use of GI Genius, even amongst gastroenterologists that were already considered experienced and who were already performing at a robust level.
And it's not cumbersome to incorporate that technology while doing a colonoscopy, correct?
No, not at all. It doesn't require any extra setup, equipment. It doesn't make the colonoscopy any longer. It is, so far in our experience using it, and we've been using it more than a full year now, in our experience using it, it has had no downside.
Do you know how widely used GI Genius is within Illinois or within the Midwest? How widely available is this technology?
My understanding is that Rush University is the first academic institution to incorporate GI Genius into our standard practice. I'm not quite sure where else in Illinois it's being used at the time, though.
Well, Dr. Lee, thank you so much for a great conversation today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Dan, for the opportunity.